depending on what day of the week it is.
Trying to get my hair.
Last Thursday, probably not.
It's okay.
He said he got up early to help me.
If I get your PT side down?
Yeah, that'll bring you back.
That'll bring me back up.
Yours on it.
Thanks, hon. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Next one. Stroke on that.
Oh, we got into this at least. So, okay, so C011-2108.
Yes. 1016 Southwest Forster.
Just gonna bring this up here so that I can.
Okay.
We've already had one extension here.
Just got to turn right here.
I'm used to seeing those. That's the only thing that's constant.
Objection.
Yeah, so you made it back.
Alright.
Oh, no, this is that one you sent us the email on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, those are orders?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the petitions and the arguments. Petitions and arguments.
Okay, is everybody ready? Tapes are rolling?
Okay.
We're off and going? Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the March 29th, 2012 Municipal Code Enforcement Special Magistrate Hearings. First thing I will do is make sure that my agenda as printed is what we're doing.
Yes.
If you have any amendments, okay. I have reviewed the prior minutes and they are approved. Madam Secretary, we need to swear in the officers for the hearings.
Do you swear affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. It's my understanding from the staff that we have representatives of three cases, two of them on the old business section.
Yes, sir.
So I'll take up the old business consent agenda, Massey hearings.
Yes, sir.
I find that there are affidavits in each of the files of noncompliance, and at least with the exception of the first two,
yes, sir.
EA Financial and Calpurnia Stewart,
yes,
or Stewart Calpurnia, one of the Stewart Calpurnia. As to all of the others except those two, I will enter orders
to proceed.
Proceeding on the prior resolution.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, who do we have here in COM 11-0458, EA Financial Investments?
Actually, we're prepared to take person that was there before them. So
okay.
It would be COM 11-2108.
Stewart Calpurnia?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry.
Please, the magistrate. Good morning. My name is Charles Rich with the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. I'm newly appointed code enforcement manager. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement, certified in all four levels of training. I've been a code enforcement manager for 4 years. I have 30 years law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting cases this morning. The first case that we have on the docket here because of representation is COM 11-2108, Calpurnia Stewart. She has requested to appear at this Massey hearing. At this time, the city is prepared to advise you that we still have not achieved compliance. This case originally came with a 60-day order in November of 2011. In January, they give an additional 60-day order to comply. The case started from our division considerably before that, in August of 2011. So the city would be opposed to any additional extensions. and we are prepared to answer any questions pending.
Okay, first of all, I don't see an icon on my computer here for this one.
Correct, because this is just a Massey hearing.
Okay.
We didn't know prior to her appearance that she was going to appear here.
Okay.
If you want to switch over, I have the documentation on the city's website.
Okay.
And I can bring up the previous findings of fact or the dates, whatever you would...
Well, what I'd like to see is the photos that we had of where we were when we started.
Yes, sir.
So tell me how...
Down there now.
Tell me how to go back to where you want me to go.
I'm gonna have to actually show you these because...
Oh, okay.
Unless you wanted to go to the city's website.
I'll do anything you want to do.
Okay. Well, I can show you the photos. The first photo is on your screen if you switch over to the telescreener.
Hit the little gray button.
The little button on the blue...
This guy here?
Yes, sir. That was 1/19/2012. We have problems, the original findings of fact.
And the picture then decided to go away.
Right.
Oh, okay, we're now doing all kinds of other things, okay.
This was the first picture. We had junk and debris. They were found guilty of the junk and debris cause, what have you. We go to 9/11. No meter. No one's been living in this residence.
Okay.
Some additional tires.
Okay, and what exactly was the charge? Junk and debris?
Overgrowth, junk and debris. I'm bringing up the findings of fact now.
Okay, did any of it involve the structural condition of the building?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we did have a structural completed. And this is the previous order and findings of fact.
Okay, hold the fort here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, show me the section 2 of the order up here.
Yes, sir.
Where we find what, no, that's the wrong direction. That's section 2, Roman numeral 2,
illusion
of law. Okay, violation, weeds, accumulated trash, unsightly, unsanitary, dangerous building declared, abatement required. Can you easily lay your hand on the contractor building inspector evaluation
Yes, sir.
Of the structure? East side floor system appears to have collapsed. Reflections on the roof.
Additional here if I click on the plus. No.
Take me back to the photos where I can see the roof line and the floor collapse.
Yes, sir. We're going to have to kind of go through them because they aren't listed in that
okay.
manner.
Can't see it there.
That does show the junk and debris.
Yeah, I got the junk and debris part. Okay, now.
Right there.
Is it? Okay.
You see the roof falling down. The left side of the
okay, so
soffit.
That's the overhang there.
That's, yes, sir. That's the soffit and the portion
soffit,
of the roof.
That's
is
a technical term.
Yeah.
I like the overhang.
Sure. I'll just continue through the photos for you.
Okay, that's the same area. Now, go back to that one a minute. Let's talk about what we're seeing here at the floor level. Is the underneath the window that's right there in the center, the horizontal. It's
that's what the building official was claiming was.
Is that the actual beam that the floor sits on right there?
Officer Thomas is the officer in this case.
On the front half of the house, that bottom portion where you see the weeds growing over.
Right, and then there's a dark horizontal object.
There's a blocked area there.
Right.
To the left of that, down the side of the house, just past the metering, is where the sagging has begun. That portion of the house was off the ground.
Okay.
And it's now on the ground.
It's now on the ground. So the situation has gotten worse.
Yes, sir.
So as indicated here, the front portion is up off the ground. This whole entire back portion
is sagged to the ground.
Has gone down to the ground.
That's correct.
So you got a complete failure in your floor system.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
As well as the roof system.
Okay.
And I can continue on with the additional photos.
Okay. Tell me, wow, and see that the first time. Few tires. Okay, given that, tell me, we got the floor that is a problem. What else has gotten worse or better, or what's improved? Has anything been cleaned up? Where are we?
Essentially, nothing's been done, sir.
Okay. Okay.
She has tried to get with community programs previously, and they were unable to help her to try to rehab the home. And we're here to order. Okay.
And let's see, the address on this property, where are we physically located?
It is 1016 Southwest 4th Street.
Southwest 4th Street. Okay, so we're the boulevard, four blocks. Okay. It's in that quadrant east of Martin Luther, right?
East of Martin Luther, but just south of Southwest 14th Street.
South of Boulevard, don't I?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got
behind
you.
The,
I know where this is. Okay.
Behind the police department.
Behind, yeah, okay. 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 Is the last name on this case Stewart, or is the last name Calpurnia?
Stewart.
Stewart, okay. Is that Mrs. Stewart? Is that you out there in the audience? Why don't you come on up here and chat with me? Mrs. Stewart, one of the things they make us do is swear everybody in, so we need to have the clerk do that, please.
Do you swear from the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please state your name.
Calpurnia Stewart.
Thank you.
I'm sorry about messing up your name.
It's probably right.
What are we going to do with this guy?
Okay. I've tried to get help, but I couldn't. They didn't have any funds at the time. And,
one moment. Chip, would you close that computer lid? She
absolutely
disappears kind of behind it, and I have a voice coming out. I just didn't talk with the lady.
Normally I would have already put that down. I apologize.
There you go. Okay.
I had a contractor come out yesterday,
mm-hmm,
and he looked at the house. The soffit was completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he got walked through. And he said, really and truly, but to repair it, it would cost too much money.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here.
Okay.
Because of the beams under the house were rotten too. And
yeah,
so
that was pretty clear. That completely failed. Is the city prepared to demolish and lien to do this?
Yes, sir.
May I ask a question?
Sure. Keep going. You're in charge.
If I have someone that does the demolition, could I use him?
Absolutely, that was part of the order for you to obtain a contractor within 60 days.
The demolition too?
Yes, ma'am. Right now, the fine will run, but you have probably legal available. Yeah.
You
basically have three legal options, only two of which have any practical existence. One, you could go buy a renovation permit and fix it. That's not likely. As far as demolition, you certainly could go hire a contractor and clean the site and wind up with the lot. That would be your expense. If you don't do anything, the city will demolish it and lien the lot for the cost of doing it. Now, you may be the finest negotiator on the planet, I don't know.
Mm-mm.
But the city does the demolitions regularly, mm-hmm, and has a good working relationship with the demolition companies. So far as we've never had anybody complain about the prices that the city does it for. So
I would offer for the court that, for the magistrate, that the city does obtain three bids and gets the lowest bid to do the work, and they're generally fairly inexpensive.
Yeah. So I think my guess is your low cost position is to let the city go ahead and demolish it. And then when they lien the lot, you get a bill. And I think they take installment pay, don't they?
Generally, we cannot do that because we simply aren't
set up to do it.
But
you're not Visa card.
We work with her through the finance division to see if there's some way they could set that up where they could make a regular payment on their utility bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $50 a month or something like that, I would apply for it.
So there are some choices out there in terms of how to get this done. You probably need to actually get with Chip or his other staff, whoever is in charge of this thing, in the next day or two, and tell them how you're going to go about doing this. We're going to let them do it, you're going to do it, so on and so forth, okay? Okay. And I have no idea what Chip, what generally is the cost on a demolition like this? It looks like a fairly simple...
We have to get the asbestos testing completed. That's usually a $200, and then generally between $1,200 and $5,000.
Okay, so $5,000 would be sort of a top-end kind of thing?
I think that's way top-end.
Okay.
Generally, they're in the $2,500 range. Would that be about right, Carol?
Yeah.
Okay, so what you're looking at is if you let the city do it, you're going to wind up about 30 days, 60 days down the road with a lien on the property for somewhere between $25,000 and $5,000. And if you think the lot has some value in excess of that worth messing with, then you need to go find yourself a buyer or something or another and get the city paid off. That make sense?
Makes sense. How much time? What's the time frame in that?
Well, the time is actually expired under the order. Now, you know, is the truck going to pull up tomorrow and start taking the building down? Probably not. But if you get with these guys, you can find out what their schedule is and what they're going to do. And it's just a matter of working your way through it. It's not missile science at all. Okay?
Okay.
Fair enough. Thank you. We appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
That brings us to
Let me put something on the case of COM 11-2108. I'm going to confirm the order as originally entered. Find noncompliance and direct the city proceed.
Proceed.
Okay. You want to do EA Financial now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You want to take me back to...
I don't know what they're claiming from... We assert that we still have noncompliance here.
Well, I need to know what the violation is. I need to understand the violations.
I will take you back to it.
You may remember all of these cases, but I tend not to.
This is a case of 2716 Northeast. First Avenue. Okay,
26 Northeast 27th Avenue.
Vanguard High School.
Over by Vanguard High School.
Okay, gotcha.
We had standard housing codes of the roof, the doors, the floors, the plumbing, and dilapidated structure.
Okay.
It's a case involving Officer Dan Baker. I can bring you to the order first if you're...
Yeah, let's look at the order. Okay, hold on for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, come on up a little more. Let me see section 3. Down just a little more. I want to see one more thing down here. Okay, so this was a code board hearing. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You want to show me a couple photos so I get the drift of what I'm looking at? Ceiling.
Yes. Officer Baker can attest to these photographs.
There's a stain on the ceiling indicating the living room at the time.
Okay.
A little better in that photo.
Yeah, I see it. Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Black mold started.
Yeah.
Broken, is that a broken or disconnected line?
Plumbing issues.
And that's an improper connection.
Oh, an improper connection as compared to no connection, okay.
Dan?
That's a 2-liter bottle collecting water from the tank that's leaking out of the bottom of the toilet.
Okay, well, that's creative. Okay.
Work.
Closer up.
Is that an air conditioning return air?
Just the vent cap missing.
The vent cap. Vent cap to what?
To the
air conditioner.
Yes,
to
sir.
The air handler, yeah.
Oh, okay. The air handler doesn't have a grill. Okay. Okay. Well, it has a grill on the door.
On that picture, on there's that two picture. Different.
Two different.
One in the wall and then one in the door.
Okay.
Hanging wires.
Yeah, bare wires, not affixed.
Yeah.
What are we seeing
That's
here?
That's actually an addition that was put on the house years and years and years and years and years ago, but it was not done correctly. The patient board on the south side of the property there is actually sitting on top of the concrete about 4 inches off the edge. So every time that it rained, the water was collecting and running right up underneath that addition and running into the floor in that spare room there.
Okay, is the addition a slab?
Yes.
Okay, so I got a slab and then I got...
That's a little better picture of it. You can actually see the slab protruding out from the side of the
Was
building.
That white stuff somebody trying to caulk it?
Is no, that is the interior dissolving.
Well, no, actually
wall board or
no, actually that is
somebody tried to caulk it.
Time tried to put some caulking on it.
That's what that looks
I
like.
I kind of heard a little differently.
Okay, so I got a concrete slab and then I probably got a baseboard. And I got the vertical studs, and then I got siding. Is the siding coming down overlapping the concrete slab?
No, it's not overlapping.
That's the problem.
It should be overlapping.
It does not overlap. Okay, I got you. So we have an exposed concrete slab.
Yes.
It's just feeding water underneath the,
yes, sir,
the baseboard. Okay,
yes.
I got you. Okay, is this the request that you've got up here now?
No, this was a motion that was sent
to
the county court.
Provided to us by the tenant at the time, the actual complaint.
Oh, okay. I see.
There's also some civil stuff going on between the property owner and the tenant,
okay,
which I'm sure that the owner will attest to.
Okay. All righty.
Then we have, of course, our notice of violation.
Okay. So bring me up to speed. Before we start with the owner's rep, from the city's perspective, has anything changed since the time of the order?
Yes, actually there has. The reason we're back here as part of the non-compliance, the property owner complied with the code board order as far as obtaining the required permits and getting the work done. What happened was is those permits went through 180 days and expired without a good inspection.
Okay.
Thus creating the non-compliance on the original case. That's why we're back here.
Was the original order was to fix the stuff, not just to get a
correct
permit. So just getting a permit didn't
right,
solve
right
the problem.
Okay. That is correct.
That's the interesting approach
but
the county
the,
takes. That
with,
if you
without,
buy a permit,
without the final inspection, sir, we don't know, we can't confirm whether that stuff was corrected or not.
Okay, so you're in the situation of ambiguity. You don't know.
Not yet.
Understand.
Although
and you'd
today
like to know.
We'll know today, but
oh, okay,
we'll get to
okay
that.
I just want to understand. So we don't
yeah
know that he didn't do it. We just don't know if he did it.
Right.
Okay. And have we asked to go look?
Actually, we're looking today because we have
oh, that's how we're going to learn today.
That's how we're going to learn.
Oh, okay.
And
I thought maybe you were going
I'm
to tell us.
I'm trying not to speak on behalf of the owner.
Okay.
I'm trying to speak on behalf of code enforcement.
I'm just trying to understand
here
where we are. Okay. Well, let's talk to the owner. Come on up, sir, be sworn, and let's see where we are. Thank you, Chip. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are not 6'8". Swear the gentleman in.
Do you swear from the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Thank you. Please state your name.
Chad Dorr.
Okay, tell me, how do we got where we are, and where are we?
Well, we had a little bit of a difficult time with the tenant.
Okay.
And we weren't, as soon as we got it done, we got the permit, as soon as we got the violation, we got the permit, and solar shield went out, did all the roofing, did all the repairs. And the first half a dozen times, couldn't get entry into the house to do the...
Tenant wouldn't let you in?
Tenant wouldn't let us in.
Okay.
And we almost had the eviction, and then Mr. Albert converted the property into a corporation name.
Okay.
So we had to start the eviction again.
Well, you can substitute plaintiffs, but okay, go ahead.
And yesterday at 10 after 4, the sheriff met us there to evict the tenant and give us access.
Okay.
So
any
we have
surprises
it now
when you got in?
Actually,
did you have a grill house going on in there?
No, it was actually better than we thought, really.
Okay.
So we have Solar Shield is the one that did all the work. They're meeting the inspector there this morning.
Okay.
Because obviously now I have access.
Okay.
And to do the inspection for the permit, he renewed the permit a couple days ago.
Okay, so I gather from what you're telling me, your expectation is that when the city crew comes out to talk with you this afternoon, they're going to continue to be of the belief this building has not been cured, that it needs more work.
No.
Oh, you think it's all done?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about that?
Yeah, they did get access to get it, to get the work done about a week and a half ago.
So the tenant wouldn't let you in, but
no,
perfectly willing to let some sub in.
Yet.
That's amazing. Okay, fair enough.
And let the heat and air conditioning contractors in, obviously, to fix the heating and air conditioning, but not to do anything else to get an inspection done.
And he didn't take the copper coils with him when he left?
No.
Okay.
Well, actually, not that I know of anyway. I didn't check that, but probably should.
Okay, so.
But
sounds like we're about 24 hours too soon right now.
Yeah, if the police and magistrate, I think the city would enter into a 30-day extension.
Okay, you think that's the simplest thing to do is to modify the prior order by extending the compliance date by 30 days?
Yes, sir.
Does that work for you?
That'd be great.
So ordered. Done.
Thank you.
Great. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
May you not have any surprises.
Yeah.
My experience has been the contrary.
I know, me too.
Okay, back to new business in that case.
Yes, sir. That'll bring us to the first case on the agenda, page 2 of your docket. City of Ocala versus Paddock Mall Associates, care of the property tax department.
Okay, before we actually get into the case, let's get my computer back.
Yeah, now you're going to need to switch your...
Hit the blue button.
Hit the blue button.
The blue box button to go
like
back.
A silver button.
Yeah,
sorry about
silver
that.
Button.
Okay. Okay, here we go. I want to be dodging.
COM 120200, involving Officer Dan Baker, who's present, prepared to testify today.
Okay.
Location within the city of 3100 Southwest College Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3032, enforcement, and Section 3035, assessment of false alarm fees. Parcel ID is 23735-001-00. Legal service was obtained on 2-1 and 3 of 2012 for the notice of violation, and 2-25 and 28, 2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property for the notice of hearing on 2/24/2012. We've also included as part of your additional correspondence.
Okay, just help me for a moment. Is the T-Mobile a exterior kiosk or an interior kiosk?
I believe that's an interior kiosk that's kind of situated in the hallway.
Okay,
you know,
there just are multiple of
ways.
Okay, I just wasn't sure which one it was. Okay, so it's an interior freestanding kiosk in the center of the aisles. Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Sir. As part of your correspondence, we've included a copy of the invoice from the Ocala Police Department.
Okay, I looked at that just a second ago.
All right.
And there's a whole stack of them. I mean, are they bills and rebills, or are they the same $75 what we're talking about here?
No, sir. I'll bring Officer Dan Baker up.
Okay, somebody needs to bring me up to speed to understand all these bills I saw.
These are all individual bills.
Hmm.
The summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the Finance Division of the City, advising that the business has an outstanding alarm fees which have not been paid in violation of the code. Officer Baker sent word for them to contact him concerning the incident. Officer Baker was never contacted by the respondent and sent notice of violation. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the response remedy the violation have been unsuccessful and the violation remains. Staff does have a recommendation that we'll be prepared to read in the record when you're ready
okay,
for
I'm
that.
I'm not quite up for that.
And,
in the middle of your package, that you got all this material.
That's the pardon me, that is the property description from the Marion County Property Appraisers data.
Okay, well, let's start first of all with an 8-page printout from, I guess, finance.
Those are the individual finance invoices that were sent to T-Mobile for payment.
Well, they got all kinds of things like Lane Bryant and Express Jewelry Repair and Zales Jewelers and Sprint. I don't think T-Mobile's going to want to pay Sprint's.
No, I'm showing all of the T-Mobile invoices.
This is dated February 22nd, 2012.
I need to find where
Eight
you're
pages,
at.
Lots and lots
can
and lots.
Can you tell me what page number you're on so I can...
Okay, how do I find your page numbers?
Be up at the top.
Up at the top. How about page 26, 27?
Those are not invoices. Those are the property appraisers.
Oh, that's a list of all the tenants in the
yes, sir.
Mall? Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. If you go down, the invoices start around page...
I was trying
page.
To figure out what that had to do with. And then underneath that is this order of taking as to a whole bunch of parcels, City
right.
of Ocala versus
that's,
Mark.
That's,
Marshall.
That's just everything that's in the public record. We have, for
okay.
part of the MPCA data, we have
okay.
to
okay. So that
provide
help,
you
that
with that.
Help me a bit.
The invoices actually start on page 115.
Yeah, that thing's huge. I'm getting past all the legals.
Thanks.
Okay, 80 pages into this. Chip, did you proofread these?
All of the
legals?
The legals?
Sure, I want to make sure we're dealing with the right dirt.
Yeah. We did review them.
Review them.
We actually had to get them from the property.
Okay, I'm up to page 104, reading rapidly. Okay, inspector notes, this is progress. Okay, what page would you like me to look at?
The invoices start on page 115.
Okay, I'm on 109. Hold the fort. Okay, 115. Our first invoice is May of 09. Okay, tell me the story.
The alarms were on from the false alarm from 2009 up to present. Each one of them is individually invoiced by finance. You will also find a corresponding police response report later on in your report as to what officer responded to what alarm on what day. Keep in mind that we got these from the old, we took over these from the old collection agency, so a lot of these are older false alarms, but they are still active in communication with the police department and the finance department to the tune of about $1,200.
Okay. Now, have we got these collected by year so that we know we've given proper credit for the one freebie and so
we,
on?
We did receive one $75 payment from T-Mobile,
okay.
and the finance department assessed that payment to the oldest alarm.
Okay.
All right, so everything else that you have from 2009 to present is current.
Okay. And not wanting to be overly picky, but if I had to pick a number, give me the number that all this adds up to.
In my chronology.
$1,175.
$1,175. And this is over a 3 or 4 year. What was the earliest date you had?
2009.
3 year period.
The police magistrate, I'd point out in section 3032 enforcement. Violations of this article, including failure to pay the fees as specified in section 3035, shall be referred to the Code Enforcement Board of the Special Magistrate.
Okay.
In section 3035, in the assessment of false alarm fee, the owner or leasee of the premises within which an alarm device is installed shall be assessed a fee of $75 for each false alarm. The owner or leasee shall be allowed one false alarm per calendar year, which they have been credited for.
That's what I wanted to make sure occurred.
Yes, sir. For which no fee will be assessed. If the premises are leased, the owner and leasee shall be jointly and severably liable for all fees assessed.
Okay, so you have charged both Paddock Mall and T-Mobile?
Yes.
Okay. Somehow or another, your photo doesn't look like a burglar alarm.
No. The photo is of the posting.
Photo is just of the posting.
Oh, is that what that's a photo of? Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that. How did we wind up in a posting mode on this one? These folks can't be hard to find.
We didn't get the posting back from the post office.
The signature back card.
From the post office.
In an error of caution.
Okay, just curious.
On a case like this, although I did get good service from T-Mobile and I did get good service from the mall, I went ahead and posted the property anyway. I just had a feeling that this was going to, we were going to end up standing here today. So
okay, all right, that's good. I just was curious. It doesn't like they're hard to find. They try to be pretty accessible, I think. Okay, well, let's talk to the happy tenant and find out how we got where we are.
We have the mall.
The mall? The tenant's not playing this game?
No.
Oh, okay. Hello, mall.
Good morning.
Be sworn in, please.
Please state your name.
Lawrence Scullo.
Do you swear that affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Larry Scullo. I'm the mall manager from Paddock Mall. And we are working with T-Mobile to get this cleared up. Our legal department has sent them a default notice. Under the terms of their lease, they're supposed to comply with all applicable laws, ordinances, and regulations that the city has. And there's a young lady, I think her name is Jenny Hansen from the police department, emailed us all the invoices that you were just looking at the other day, which we've already forwarded to the T-Mobile corporate office.
Mm-hmm.
And we fully expect them to pay this.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, they're a big company. And
okay, that was kind of, I was going to figure out how I was going to ask that question. This isn't just some mom and pop with a corporation and nothing in it.
T-Mobile corporate kiosk.
Okay.
And apparently they've had a number of different managers over the years, and the notices were going to the kiosk.
I was looking at the signatures. They seem to change every time, so I assume the mail is getting picked up, signed for by whoever's on duty the particular day when the postman comes through.
Right, and apparently they weren't communicating those up to their corporate office.
And so from what I'm hearing, there's no debate these false alarms all occurred.
Well, we're certainly, the mall is certainly not going to debate them. We know that they occurred because our security is there 24/7.
Okay, so you have become first name basis with the responders. Yeah, okay.
Right, and you know, we apologize to the city. I mean, the police department has more important things to do, you know, than to respond to these false alarms. But T-Mobile was just ignoring them, and they finally get their alarm fixed. The last one we heard in May of 2011, I believe.
They're about to buy another alarm here.
So we've defaulted them under the terms of their lease.
Yeah.
And, you know, if
it'll
you can give
fixed.
Us some kind of a time frame, we'll communicate that back to them to get the fines paid.
Okay, well, tell me what kind of time period you comfortably think you're going to have your face-to-face with these guys.
Well, I'm not sure that we need to have a face-to-face. Like I said, we've already put them on notice and
30 days.
Defaulted them. So I think once I communicate back to my legal department, you
mm-hmm.
know, what the time frame is, and they'll, I'm sure, generate a check from T-Mobile to get this cleared up.
Okay.
I mean, if they don't, they're going to have a larger issue with us. I'm sure they don't want that.
Okay. Let me find out. Just stay put right where you are. City staff, tell me about what your recommendation is.
Police magistrate would like to correct one point for the record as well.
Okay.
T-Mobile corporate received notification, not and the kiosk.
Okay.
So we did both.
That makes
we
a lot
notified
of sense.
Them, and that's why we're here.
Okay.
The staff recommendation should be to find respondents guilty violating City Code Section 3035, ordered to pay the cost of the false alarm fees as assessed by the Finance and Budget Department of the City of Ocala based upon information from the police and fire departments, and to pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, and I've changed this based upon your thoughts. To all within 30 days, pending which all fees
I'm trying
and
to get a comfortable time
clean.
Period for everybody, okay. What had you previously thought?
14 days.
Oh, yeah, your mind functions way too fast.
Well, I believe that after 3 years, we're probably not functioning.
This guy needs time. He's not in charge. Okay, I'm going to adopt the staff recommendations and find the violation occurred, impose the cost of $127.57 and the fine of $1,175, give the respondents 30 days to comply.
go from there. That work for everybody?
Heads, I think they're fine.
Heads going up and down.
Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good enough, thank you.
Okay.
Please, the magistrate, we move on to the next case. The agenda, the docket, be on the top of page 3. COM 11. I apologize. COM 120125. In this case, we'd be proceeding as a repeat violator. The City of Ocala versus Larry Williams. A location of 1117 Northwest Martin Luther King Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A case involving Officer Raymond Furing of the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 25589-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 2/21/2012 for the notice of violation and 3/9/2012 for the notice of hearing. We post the property for the notice of hearing on 2/28/2012. For additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the previous findings of fact, the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case. The summary of findings of
partial compliance is all you ever got?
Yes, because we brought the property into compliance. They never paid the costs to the city.
Okay, so the cleanup happened. Oh,
yes, sir.
You brought it into compliance?
Yes, sir.
The owner never did?
No, sir. Mm-hmm. Officer Raymond Furing located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the respondent has had many other cases, the last in 2011, which was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat offender. All attempts by Officer Furing to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. We have included copies of the photographs of the current conditions on the property as indicated. In the photographs, you'll see that there's a large center section of the property there. It just remains uncut, untended to. The property in general is not taken care of very well. The staff recommendation finding that there is no respondent here would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of the Florida statutes and order them to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day in the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure, and Officer Furing is available to answer any questions of the magistrate if necessary.
Okay. Why are you using your telephoto lens on some of this?
Yes, sir. We do try to work from the right of way.
Property's unoccupied, I gather.
That's a question I don't have the answer to. Stand up, please.
That's the regular
answer.
Okay. And it's trash and litter only. We don't have a structural issue in this?
No.
Okay.
Well, time.
Okay. I will adopt the staff recommendation. So ordered.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda. Sorry, we do have another person here. Please, the magistrate.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I did see her come in. We didn't mean to abandon you back there. What case should we go to?
We dropped to page 5 of the agenda, the petition to request reduction of penalties. And in this situation, for your computer side, you would go under number 2, petitions.
Okay, let me close the other one.
And then COM 112071.
Okay, got it.
We've included a copy of the petition, the case cost sheet, and photos of the case.
Okay. Help me with a little geography first. Where are we?
This is a location at 1243 Northeast 2nd Street. So we're at 12th Avenue, right behind you here, and 4th Street. It's an area like in the Wyomena Park over behind. You got 8th Avenue.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to go over a couple more streets.
Okay.
And then up to.
Okay.
To 4th, to 2nd Street.
Okay. Ooh. order. Let me find our order.
Sir, if you're wanting to look at the order, I'm going to have to bring that up on the other screen for you.
Okay, well, tell me what we ordered then.
The order was for cut and clean up of the property and registration of the property by the mortgage holder.
Okay, so that's what I was suspecting. This is a foreclosed property.
Yes, sir.
Or it's in the process from the
In the process of being foreclosed.
Okay. And what's the current, if the city gave me
the property has been registered, however, they're requesting a reduction.
So do we have compliance in terms of the cleanup and everything?
At this point, we do, as indicated in your photographs at the end of the photograph.
Ah, oh, there we are. Okay.
On page 7, the last photograph on 11/30/2011.
Okay, that's progress.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does the staff have a recommendation?
The staff would arise in opposition.
Okay, where are we in terms of fines and penalties at this point?
The case cost sheet, if you go out of those, you can come up to the case cost sheet. Mm-hmm. And our contention, of course, Your Honor, is that our ordinance requires them to cut and clean the property as part of the property registration and maintenance ordinance. Cutting the property is certainly not entering the premises and doing anything while the foreclosure is going on. Would submit that all of the other banks that we deal with at one time or another cut and maintain their properties in accordance with the ordinance, and that for some reason my case cost sheet, there it goes, failed. We had 28 days of the property existing in this condition before it was cleaned up, and that was after we had already spent considerable time attempting to get the work done. So the city has $700 in fines, $159 where we actually went out and cut the grass, and $147.13 for at the cost of prosecution. Mm-hmm. The city would suggest that $1,006.62 is on the extremely low end of what we typically see in these situations, and that the city should not be responsible. They have to take care of their properties.
Does federal home loan mortgage have other violations around?
We have, yes, sir. The federal home loan mortgage actually leaves it up to the various REOs and what have you to take care of these. They don't.
Okay.
It's my impression that they don't enter into any of these cleanups or payment of bad utilities and things of that nature. They leave it to the actual.
Okay, so we're at $1,662 total.
Yes, sir.
Okay, madam, come join us. Let's see what we can do here. Swear in the representative.
Please raise your right hand. You swear from the evidence you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name.
Donna Dunaway. I'm broker owner of Century 21 Affiliates, and I can kind of answer some of your questions.
Okay. I guess the first thing that we want to hear is why it took them so long to mow the lawn.
There was a tenant, let's call it a squatter, living in there. We didn't know whether the person, we got the property in September.
You didn't know they were in there until you went in with the mower and found
it. No. In September, it came over that we had it as a foreclosure. We went out there and there's a person in there. Mm-hmm. It took us a while to ascertain that he was a squatter. So now we had to go through trying to get rid of him, go through an eviction. We're not allowed on the property. We had to send it back to Freddie Mac, give it to them, advise them of somebody on there. We didn't know if it was a relative, if it was a cousin, a grandson. We had no idea. On January 25th, the eviction process was finally finalized. We got possession of the house, and our crews were out there, and you can see the house is maintained now. But until then, by law, we cannot go on the property. We tried to do a cash for keys. I don't know if you're familiar with that program. We'll give them a check if they would just, you know, load up and get out. They wouldn't even do that. So our hands were tied.
Okay, let me get my hands wrapped around a few things here. I gather at this point the foreclosure is completed.
Yes, yes,
and
that's correct.
How long ago was the, what was the date on the certificate of title? How long ago did your lender become the owner?
We took possession January 25th of this year.
And that's possession from the tenant?
From the tenant. I don't know when they...
How long did they sit around between getting the tenant out and actually becoming the owners?
The date I have on the notice that was given to me is in November. We were given the to go out and take a look at the property, do a CMA, a market analysis, that type of thing, in September. That's when we found the person, and he wouldn't allow us on the property. So we went back and forth, tried to do the cash for keys. We did everything we could to entice him to leave, and he just wouldn't leave. So finally, we had to take it and put it through the court system to do an eviction.
Chip, let's see how long this lender owned the property. That ought to show up on the property appraisers.
Okay, I could do that, or I can show you how, when we originally got notice to them and when we started the case. Of course, you can go online to the property appraisers.
I'm trying not to mess up your system.
Office. CLM 11-071. We originally started this case November 10th, 2011. We did notice both the bank and the local respondent.
Okay.
But we started this investigation on August 11th of 2011. So we had things going from August, and then we went to the hearing in November. I have the photographs available with the dates and whatnot on them. Looking in the record here for any.
Well, it's
the less pendants, I do have a copy of.
I really want to see, I want the date on the certificate of title. That's when the lender became the owner.
9/11.
9/11.
Received a letter from Wells Fargo. But of course, they don't want anything to do with it.
Fine. Okay. So what it looks like to me, what's your, in terms of inspecting the property, what date did the city conclude that compliance was had?
We did our final in the photographs that you have.
Okay.
You'll see that we have a compliance inspection that we had to do because nobody called for a re-inspection.
Okay. Gotcha.
On 11/30/2011. That's when we went out and cut it.
Okay, so they became the owners on 9/11.
We started the case in August.
Yeah, before they were the owners. Okay, so within 70 days of becoming the owner, they cured it.
Well, the city cured it.
Oh, the city?
The first time the city cured it.
Okay.
On 11/30. I've got a copy of the invoice here.
Okay, so that was the first go-around?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then what happened?
Then apparently they took possession of it, and they have been maintaining it since.
Oh, okay. So we don't have two rounds of city cleaning.
No, sir.
Run around. Does the $159 you show on your cost sheet include your mowing expense, or is that?
There's two costs to the city here.
There's two cost sheets? Okay.
Well, no, there's two costs on the single sheet.
Well, I'm seeing $159.49.
Yes, sir. That is the cost to us to have it cut.
Okay.
The $147.13 is our cost of prosecution. That's all the certified mail.
Okay, so you got $300 worth of hard costs. And what was the actual compliance date that was in the order?
I'm going to have to bring that back up. It would have been like 28 days prior to the date on this, so 28 days prior to November 30th, because they had 28 days of fine.
So roughly off November 1, more or less.
Right around there. I'll bring it up for you, sir.
Is it Dunaway or Dunaway?
Dunaway.
Does your real estate firm handle other properties for these people?
Yes.
The original findings of fact and order are on your administrator screen if you wanted to switch over. If not, I can read it to you.
Yeah, read it to me.
The order was there. The order was to find a respondent guilty of violating the code section 3495 and the registration ordinance, which they did take care of. They were ordered to take care of the property within 14 days, and that was 19 October. So 23 days of violation is exactly where you were putting it, right at the end of October, first part of November.
Explain to me why, if the lender was the owner of the property and the person present on it was a squatter, we just didn't call the city police and arrest him for trespass.
My understanding, we didn't know who he was. Let me explain. He gave the impression he was related to the woman, but we couldn't get any information out of him. So our job is to report that back to Freddie Mac. Okay. So then it is up to them to start the eviction, and then they let us know when we're supposed to go out there and meet the sheriff,
That's the eviction process. I'm just talking about the crime of trespassing.
He ended up being a friend of the woman who he said he had a lease agreement with. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on, anything for him to stay there. And at one point, we kept driving by and it just to see if, a lot of them, they just leave, or they leave the windows open to cause mold problems. I mean, they're very clever. And we found him sleeping in his car. But he, you know, again, we could get trespassing if he had a right to be there, and we're going on the property. So we were walking a fine line. I don't think Freddie Mac is trying not to pay the city at all. They agree that that the lawn was cut. They agree there were hard costs. They're just asking it be lowered, and they're going to pay it. But that's the only reason they asked me to come, is explain we had this person and this was the issue. We really thought the cash for keys, since he's living in his car, would entice him, but that didn't even do it.
Even bribery doesn't.
Yeah.
What time frame do you expect the lender to pay whatever we come up with?
How it happens, I pay, and then they reimburse me within 30 days. That's how it goes.
So it's just a matter of wandering back to the office and getting the checkbook.
That is correct, sir. That is correct. They've just asked me to show up today and explain why I couldn't get there to get the lawn and landscaping taken care of. But as soon as he was evicted, then we had it done that day.
Well, here's my dilemma. One, you have a reasonable story there, I guess. On the other hand, I got all the other people all across the city of Ocala that we've been finding the dickens out of, and they eventually come out and write checks for.
No, I agree with you. I agree. I told them I would come out, present their case. Did you see an attorney here? No, they send us.
Well, there is a tradition of sacrificial lambs, you know.
I agree. I agree.
I mean, if it's paid in 10 days, I'll go to $800, but I'm not coming down below that.
All right.
They're big boys. They're in this business.
Totally understand. Totally understand.
I would get them the trespassing ordinance in their hands, though.
Isn't that something,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, somehow or another, a deputy with a large revolver just seems to have a way of vacating the premises, you know? There are quicker cures.
I'm a widow. My husband was a detective.
Okay.
For I totally understand.
Okay. I'll go to an even $800 paid in 10 days. Otherwise, it's the same number.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda. That's on page 3. Apologize the docket. Trying to call it by its proper term.
Oops.
COM 120389.
She needs to push the silver button. There. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Which one are we doing?
COM 120389.
Gotcha.
Case involving Officer Matthew Lifetree. This case will be proceeding as a repeat violator as well. The City of Ocala versus the estate of Eddie Mae Newmans, care of Willie D. Miller, her personal representative.
I actually have a PR in this one. Okay.
Yes, sir. Location is 206 Northwest 21st Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2260-167-001. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 2/24/2012 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Matt Leibfried located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property has had many other cases, the last in 2011, which was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty of violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Work by Officer Leibfried enabled the abandoned derelict vehicle to be cleared up. However, the violation of overgrown weeds has not been complied with. All attempts by Officer Leibfried to have the response remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. I would point out that as part of your presentation, we've included copies of the photographs of the location, and there is no respondent here today. The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violation of Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida statutes. In order to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing all junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution. The case is assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day in the city to complete the work utilizing all means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Have these vehicles been towed?
The vehicles have been towed. The trailer has not, and that'll be a separate case.
We gotta do that as a separate case?
Yes, sir, unfortunately we do.
Why?
We don't have to, but we did not charge it initially because he thought he had compliance with they had a deal.
And the
that's
deal
what we
didn't
get for
work.
Making a deal.
Okay, so the trailer's,
The trailer will be coming soon. If it doesn't come off the property, that will be coming back to either the code board or yourself.
When you tow a vehicle or the trailer or whatever, what becomes of it?
What happens is your order enables us to get the rotation record from the city.
The rotation record?
The PD maintains a rotation record list of all the rotation.
Oh, the record. Oh, okay.
They'll come out, they'll tow it off, they'll assess the cost of the tow and the storage fees, what have you, and then they dispose of it in accordance with state law, which is generally, I think it goes 90 days. And by that time, the storage fees are generally worth more than the value of the item. Any overages would, of course, be returned to the respondent in accordance with state law. But I have a feeling that overages don't generally come out of those cases.
I bet they don't. I bet somehow or another the tow companies wind up being the owner.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I find the violation exists. It's a repeat violator. Adopt the staff recommendation. So ordered.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda. CON 12-0056, a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The City of Ocala versus Douglas McClure, a location of the 2000 block of Southwest 8th Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2260-160-012. Legal services obtained on 1/13/2012 for the notice of violation and 3/16/2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 1/12/2012 for the notice of violation and 2/28/2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of your additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the first findings of fact, additional the affidavit of the partial compliance in the first case, which is where we went and took care of it and they didn't pay the cost of prosecution, what have you. Those are on pages two, let me see here, I think four.
Okay, as I look at the photos, just so that I know what I'm looking at, there's this enormous wooded area that's overgrown.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I just haven't.
That's our contention. It's within 300 feet of the neighbors.
Is the actual parcel a vacant parcel?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so none of these houses that I'm seeing in the photos are on this parcel.
That's what I was led to believe, sir.
That's
I can
correct.
Have Officer Thomas advise you.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, just want to make sure I had the right perspective. Okay.
I think we took this house down many years ago.
Okay, and your recommendation is?
The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator for Chapter 16204 Florida statutes in order to, one, cut and clean up the property, probably removing any junk and debris, and two, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which $500 per day, a fine of $500 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required of all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay, I find the violation exists. I find it's a repeat violator, and I adopt the staff recommendation. Why is this name Douglas McClure familiar to you?
Well, if you look at the spreadsheet up on page four, you'll see he's been here many times.
No money. Frequent flyer.
Yes, sir.
Holy mackerel.
At someday, he will have a reckoning with the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division.
Well, A, he doesn't seem to take care of anything, but have we foreclosed any of our assessment liens?
Not currently, but I think that's in his future.
I was going to say, you can do them all in one lawsuit.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll make a big sweeping move
and
here.
You can include all the other properties that aren't liened yet because your judgment's spread out across all of them.
Yes, sir, they do. We've had an interesting occurrence this week with another realtor in Bellevue concerning that exact problem. For him, not for the city.
Yeah.
He's having a little problem selling some things.
Well, I don't know where all these properties are. Let me look at the addresses. Let's see, southwest, northwest.
I think you kind of get the picture.
He probably was buying some low-end, badly maintained properties and then thought he was going to flip them and not spend any money on them and found out that didn't necessarily work anymore.
Maybe in 2007?
Maybe.
But in 2008, it was a new day.
Yeah. And Mr. McClure's address is in Silver Springs, okay, P.O. Box.
And he does sign for his mail.
So he does show up there, huh? So he lives somewhere in the area.
Shows up there, doesn't show up here.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't visit you, huh?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I just knew I had seen that name. I just didn't know what it was.
See, you do remember the cases.
Okay.
That'll bring us to CON 12-0196. It's at the bottom of page three of the docket. Mm-hmm. A case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The City of Ocala versus Excalibur Estates LLC. A location within the city at 1817 Northwest 17th Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. You might recall this is an area what we renamed as Phoenix Rising. The city's been taking quite a few properties here and converting them over and has a long-term plan to make new affordable housing, what have you. This is a case where...
So this is just west of Martin Luther, north of the school. Okay.
And on page 4 here again, we've included the previous case histories at this location, all of which have generally ended up in a lien, some of them considerable liens. We will be foreclosing and working on this property as well. The parcel ID, it's in violation of section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and 82-182, dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 21939-003-02. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 2-16-2012 for the notice of violation and 3-6-2012 for the notice of hearing. This particular property had a score of 65 points and deteriorated by David Thompson of the building department.
Just refresh my memory on what the minimum score is.
Well, there is really no minimum score. It's basically a weighing process.
Okay.
And the building official determined that this property was contributing to the slum and blight of the neighborhood based upon the previous history involved here, the fact that we've continually secured it, cut and cleaned it up and taken care of it, and no attention by the apparent owner. We have included also a copy of the previous findings of fact affidavit of partial compliance because we took care of it, the SunBiz report, and a previous release of mortgage.
Tracy Eccles, that's vaguely familiar. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. The release of mortgage was to her, and then they took it back over. Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property, observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is in dangerous and insecure condition. Additional investigation revealed the respondent has had many other cases, the last in 2010, which was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for the same violations.
This is a Busby Court, right?
Yes, sir, that's the old name. Additionally, Officer Thomas requested a structural evaluation by Officer Inspector David Thompson. Responded, completing the inspection was resulting in a score of 65 points and deteriorated. All attempts by Officer Thomas have responded, showing the violation have been unsuccessful and the violation remains. Part of the presentation, we've also included copies of the photographs of the current condition out there.
Recall any of the Busby properties having this extension on the back before. Is that different than what...
Some of them do have that. A majority of them have had that. You see, the property is back unsecured from when we secured it previously,
that.
And this just happens over and over and over again.
Okay.
At this time, we feel with the number of cases that we've had involving this property, the total lack of response by the owners and lack of cooperation in trying to abate this nuisance, that this is a continuing nuisance, therefore does qualify under Chapter 182 as a nuisance property. The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 82-181 and 82-182 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida statutes, and order them the respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring the residents up to all current Florida building code within 180 days, or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days, with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days. And two, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to do the work, utilizing all means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
You're awfully generous in the construction period.
Well,
6 months is a long time.
I think that, you know, we try to remain consistent and amicable and in an overabundance of caution. And just, I don't think we're going to have any more response or cooperation for them than we've had in the last 4 years.
Okay, so I gather the city's plan would be that if the owner doesn't do it, you're going to demolish it.
Yes, sir, we're going to take it down and get rid of it. as a nuisance and blighted property.
Looking, do you have an index that can give me the page number that the condition report is on?
Yes, sir, I do, actually.
What's the number? Inspector notes?
You'll see that there's a header sheet that says structural evaluation on page 14, and then on page 15 is the actual structure.
It's 14, okay, I'm in the wrong neck of the woods here. Okay.
I think that the evaluator's report is just that with all of the utilities being removed, all the copper being torn out of the building, all the plumbing being torn out of the building, it's basically just a concrete block shell.
It's and a cube.
By the time
with a rotten wood and box on the back.
And by the time you bring this up to current Florida building code, you're going to spend more money than would have been just to skin it off anyway.
Start over.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'll find that the violations exist, that it's a repeat violator, that the time periods for either renovation or demolition as recommended by staff are adopted, and so order.
That'll bring us to the top of page 4 of the docket, sir.
Okay.
The City of Ocala versus Warren and Sandra Warrenbeck and SunTrust Mortgage.
Not that it makes any difference here. I know the Winchenbach. Warren is deceased. Sandra lives in North Carolina. They've abandoned the house. It's in foreclosure.
Yes, sir. Would you prefer that we didn't run the case, or do you think it'd be okay here?
Fine.
This is a case involving Officer James Vaux of the Code Enforcement Division. The location is 529 Southeast 35th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The partial ID is 2784-004-006. Legal service was obtained 2/19/14/2012 for the notice of violation and 3/2/5/2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 2/28/2012 for the notice of hearing. Officer Jim Vaux located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it contains junk and debris. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Vaux added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Vaux enabled the registration requirement of the violation to be cleared up by the bank, but not the junk and debris. All attempts by Officer Vaux to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Don't have a respondent here today, and the staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 in order to 1) cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, 2) pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $50 per day in the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Vaux.
I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That will bring us to the next case on the agenda. The police and magistrate. That would be COM 120306. A case involving Officer James Vaux, the City of Ocala versus Chris Boyd, a location at the city of 1527 Southeast 11th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3432, water collections. The parcel ID is 2883-002-016. Legal service was obtained on 2/17/2012 for the notice of violation and 3/10/2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 2/10/2012 for the notice of violation and 3/1/2012 for the notice of hearing. As additional correspondence, Officer Vaux did provide an email to the property preservation company as listed. However, did not obtain results from that. Officer Vaux responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city code and that the pool is green and has standing water. A courtesy email was sent by Officer Vaux to inform the property preservation team of the violation. All attempts by Officer Vaux to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. We don't have a respondent here. We have included photographs at the end of your presentation.
Look at those. The pool doesn't look secured either.
There is a fence going around.
Yeah, except there's part of where the fence doesn't seem to exist anymore. I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation. And you had talked or notified or something this Chase?
That was who the email went to, the property preservation people for Chase.
Yes, sir, I sent an email to the email address that was listed on the paper in the window there. I didn't get any response. Just as a courtesy.
If I were running a property care business, would I pick a name for my email? High risk violation. Was I thinking the day I picked that? Okay.
Different strokes for different things.
Okay, a parking violation.
Yes, sir, we have two of these.
That happens in the city of Ocala?
We might make these simple for the magistrate today. The city is in agreement with both of these requests for dismissals. They've made a plea of not guilty. The city agrees with both of their complaints to dismiss them.
Is this soft-hearted mercy on your part?
No, sir, the one, if you wanted to.
Just curious.
We could go through them very quickly.
Just tell me what defense there is to it.
Well, for the first one, in 35, we've got a copy of his actual... This is an older gentleman.
Okay, so he parked in a disabled parking place. He actually had a permit, more or less.
He actually had two. One good one and one bad one. He put the bad one up.
Oh, okay.
Thereby, when he brought the good one in, we
said, okay.
We felt extremely generous.
Okay, and what about Mr. Gwynn?
And then the other one, Cameron Gwynn, is a respondent from St. Pete. And
who thought he was on his way home from the 7-Eleven and wound up in
Ocala?
Well,
he parked in the theater parking lot in violation, but our sign was missing at this particular time.
Oh, okay, so you lose there, okay.
And him being an out-of-towner, we felt that...
Okay. All right, hey, when I start practicing parking violation law and earning a living at it, I just want to know what the defenses were.
So we agreed with both of those.
Okay, complete putzes. Okay, what about City of
Ocala
versus Food Mart?
So we respectfully request that those be dismissed on the record.
So ordered.
In this situation, we've proceeded to delinquent business tax certificate reduction request. We would submit that they've been late before and that we don't agree with his claim, and that he had more than 6 months to take care of this.
And he hasn't bothered to come visit us?
No, sir. And now he wants us to reduce.
And how much is it?
The fee is, remember, it used to be $250.
Right.
Now it's been reduced to $125.
Thanks, Marley.
So he wants even that thrown out.
No. Denied.
That takes us to the petitions for request a reduction of penalty, and if you recall, we've heard the first one, and that'll bring us to the second one. This one may interest you.
Basilio Rodriguez.
They want to do away with all of the fines and what have you. The city does have a suggestion here.
Probably not favorable to the
but we'll let you read their petition and let you
okay, give me 2 seconds and let me get to it. Okay, two petitions, there we go. And this is 57, right there. Petition. Yeah, my concern. This is due to the fact that I'm trying to have a set amount owed on the property be dismissed. Prominent property was rented by my father to a church, which had done additions to the property and were not done to code, which I was unaware of. Attention through my father, and it was taken down, and we were forced to vacate them out of the property. Since then, I've been paying $800 on a mortgage without renting the property. But some I'm not able to keep paying because of health reasons. Just got my two hands operated. Carpal tunnel. 2 weeks also lost my home due to a fire. Insurance doesn't want to pay. It's all over the news. I've lost everything. Please help. It's a tough situation. I'm trying to complete all electrical on the property. Everything is in kitchen so I can rent. Please consider the situation that was. How much money will we lose for this? This is where his house burned in Waterbury.
I would point out that this is probably the poster child for why he was cited in the first place, his own photographs of his house burning down in Waterbury, Connecticut.
And the insurance company doesn't want to pay.
Yeah. So you see those photographs of his house burning.
Yeah.
And then we direct you to our photographs of what we were confronted with at his business here on West Silver Springs Boulevard.
Okay. Oh, Lord, I haven't spotted those photos yet. Let me go back. That must be another icon.
Yes, sir. Photos.
Photos icon.
We were originally confronted with illegal construction and addition of additions onto the building, illegally installed plumbing, illegally installed electrical wiring, two boxes brought off of one box with the other box just wired up haphazardly, and now we're wondering why his house burnt down in Waterbury, Connecticut.
But it has a nice chapel.
Yes, sir. I would say that. I would also point out that they have found the money to completely refurbish this building and to bring it up to all current Florida building codes. I particularly like the bottom of page 5 where they have the extension cord cut off and going into the next breaker box that they installed.
And then ran it through the wall.
Well, they got an electrician in the congregation.
Right. If you want to call him that.
If you want to call.
I don't think I'd want to do my electrical work in Waterbury, Connecticut or in Ocala, Florida. The city does have a recommendation here.
Okay.
Agreeing that perhaps $30,000 of running fines is a little stiff. The city would agree to reduce the $30,000 fine to $5,000 if paid within 30 days.
I'll do that, sure.
If not, it would revert.
Yeah. So ordered.
That'll bring us to the docket section of old business, and you've already found
the consent.
I've already
handled the Massey hearing.
Yes, sir. You've already found all of these in non-compliance. You've ordered us to proceed with previous board order. At this time, I would respectfully request that all information, presentations, testimony given to the magistrate today be accepted into the record.
Yes.
And that's all I have, sir.
Okay. Anything else? Let's call it quits for another month. Adjourned.
We're off right. The record.
Yeah.
In regards to your trespassing, I ran into a situation like that with